I'm Anthony Pastore. Welcome to UBS On Air. Whether you are single or married, estate planning is always a smart idea. A solid plan can ensure that your financial wishes get followed. The same applies if you are someone in a same-sex marriage. However, here, due to the unique concerns and situations you may face, proper planning becomes even more critical. On today's podcast, we'll discuss why estate planning is so critical for every individual, what the specific nuances are for same-sex couples, how to protect yourself and your loved one, and some essentials that you need to know. My guest today is Emily Brunner, a senior wealth strategist from the UBS Advanced Planning Group. Emily, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, Emily, why is estate planning so critical for every individual?
Well, estate planning gives you the opportunity to express your wishes with respect to end-of-life matters, as well as with respect to what's going to happen to your property after you're gone. So if you don't do your estate planning, then every state has intestacy laws that govern what's going to happen to your stuff, but they rarely match up perfectly to what you want to do. So anytime you have something special that's a little bit out of the ordinary, and it could be anything, it could be a bequest to charity, it could be some money you want to leave to your best friend, it could be who you want to take care of your dog. A state is never going to have that level of detail where your things are going to go.
Great. And so today we're really focusing on same-sex couples and estate planning for them. And since gay marriage was legalized at the federal level back in 2015, they've had to think differently about their own planning needs. So besides the obvious, what's unique about the experience of a same-sex couple in estate planning?
So it's kind of interesting because a lot of same-sex couple estate planning had to do with the inability to get married. And so that had its own pros and cons estate planning wise. And now it's the flip side where they have to consider what they need to do to address the fact that marriage is possible at a state and federal level. And so they need to think about things like you can't really disinherit your spouse in America. You know, all the states have these laws that a spouse is entitled to a certain share of your estate. So you need to address that in your planning. And spouses have beneficiary designation rights with respect to retirement accounts. Same-sex couples might have the fun of negotiating a prenuptial agreement or a postnuptial agreement. They might have to think about other forms of domestic partnership that they might have entered into. So, for example, in Washington, they had this domestic partnership, and then a few years ago, they sort of automatically upgraded everyone who was a domestic partner, or most of them, to being married. And so you could actually be married in Washington and not even know that you were married. And that might be the kind of thing that
that's
you wanted
surprise,
to check
out.
Right. Surprise, you're married. So it's something to look into.
Right. We know that even in 2019, not every state has protection for LGBTQ individuals. So how would this affect, if at all, the estate planning side of the story?
So it's a good point. So there are protections around the ability to get married, but you're correct that only 21 states plus the District of Columbia have protection against discrimination. And so resultingly, you really want to spell everything out clearly within your documents so that there's no confusion, there's no ambiguity, there's nothing to interpret because that's where you're going to run into trouble. So even more than perhaps in other situations, you just want to say exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm. Great. What should someone listening in today who is in a same-sex couple or maybe knows someone who is and wants to help them out with some correct info, what should they do right now? What are the essentials that they should know about?
So everyone really needs the same things. They need to have a will, possibly a revocable trust to avoid probate, but definitely a will. They need to have a power of attorney so that someone can act on their financial assets if they can't. They need to have a healthcare proxy so that if they can't make their own medical decisions, someone can make them for them. And they need to have a living will, which spells out things like your wishes with respect to artificial nutrition, artificial hydration. So you need to think about that. And insurance is the final part of that basic document package where you need to think about if someone is relying on you for income, you might think about insurance to protect them or perhaps for liquidity purposes. And that's, you know, estate planning 101, the things you need to do to prepare.
Right. So almost fairly basic compared to what most other individuals will be having to think about when they're planning their own estates.
Exactly.
Right.
Everyone needs
right.
the same things.
Right, exactly. So what if they have children? How do children play into the equation?
That's really, really important because in a same-sex couple, at least one member of the couple is not going to have a biological relationship to the children. So both spouses need to clarify their relationship with the children. Some states actually let you do this thing. It's called second parent adoption, where both of the parents legally adopt the child, mm-hmm. and then that gives them the same rights as biological parents. But that's not true for all the states. So if that's not available in a particular state, then you would still want to talk to a lawyer about creating a document that lists the two spouses as co-parents to the children, and it covers custody, and it covers visitation rights. If you do that, you're really just trying to demonstrate the family bond to help you out later with respect to your relationship to that child.
Right, right. And if both of the parents are not the biological parents, if the child was purely adopted by both, but they still have to plan for that and put that into writing.
Absolutely. You're always going to want to clarify the relationship. That's the number one thing to do.
Right. Terrific. Emily, thank you. Anything we missed? Any final takeaways that our listeners should be thinking about if they're walking away saying, boy, I really need to think about planning for myself here?
I think just in general, to visit your estate planning lawyer and make sure that you've done everything that's applicable in your own state, because in the area of same-sex planning, we've had these huge strides, but there are still laws and situations where the default is not going to be a great default for you. So it's just really important to document what you specifically want.
Terrific. Emily, thank you so much. Great topic. And thanks for joining us to give us some really valuable information. Emily Brunner, Senior Wealth Strategist from the UBS Advanced Planning Group. Emily, thanks.
Thank you.
And if you have any questions regarding anything we discussed today, we always encourage you to reach out to your UBS financial advisor. If you don't have a financial advisor here at UBS, please go to our website at ubs.com and locate one in your area. From the UBS studios in New York City, I'm Anthony Pastore. Have a great day, everyone. Neither UBS Financial Services, Inc. nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers both investment advisory services and brokerage services, which are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and governed by different laws and separate contracts. For more information, visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. All rights reserved. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA SIPC.